Michael Nye is in the studio with me tonight. He was born and grew up here in Cincinnati and is the author of the story collection Strategies Against Extinction. His writing has appeared in the American Literary Review, Cincinnati Review, and Kenyon Review, among others. His work has been a finalist for the Katherine N. Porter Prize in Fiction and has been nominated for the Pushcart Prize. Tonight, we're going to talk about his debut novel. It is titled All the Castles Burned. You can meet Michael in person at Joseph Beth in Rookwood. He'll be there for an author talk and book signing on February 13th at 7 o'clock. Michael, welcome and congratulations on the publication of your first novel.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure.
So All the Castles Burned is a coming-of-age novel. So let's start with this interesting and I found very authentic character you've created who's in that very raw time of life. His name is Owen Webb.
Yeah, Owen is a bit of a cipher for that period of my life from the early 90s when I was first going to high school and growing up and coming of age. Owen is a working class boy who gets accepted to this elite school, the Rockcastle Preparatory Academy, based here in Cincinnati. And he falls under the spell of a mysterious upperclassman named Carson Bly, who's from one of the wealthier and more powerful families of the school. And through a love of basketball, they become very close. And as their friendship strengthens, Owen's parents, their marriage falls apart. And when his father is convicted of a surprising and horrific crime, he grows closer and closer to Carson, who channels Owen's sense of anger and frustration and leads him down a much darker path.
So the other thing that's front and center in All the Castles Burned is basketball. So I did a little research. Basketball was the sport when I was growing up, certainly. But I read that James Naismith is credited with inventing the game in the 1930s and writing the rule book for it. And he said, "The invention of basketball was not an accident. It was developed to meet a need. Those boys simply would not play, drop the handkerchief." And one further note, I read that Michael Jordan called basketball his place of refuge. And I thought both of these really applied to Owen. Does that resonate with you about Owen's character?
Absolutely. It's a game that you can practice by yourself. I think when people think about America in the 20th century, we talk about baseball. Well, you need a dozen guys to play baseball. Football, you need a dozen guys. You need equipment. Basketball is a game where all you need is a ball and you can find a park or a gym, practice by yourself. There's one-on-one games, two-on-two, three-on-three. So I think for a character like Owen and for Carson, basketball was a place where you could step away from the world. You could really focus and think about the game. You could think about your life. You could get away from everything that was upsetting and bothering you. And it's why it fit these characters so well.
Well, it's also a place to take out aggression, you know, to work through that emotion, at least especially for Owen, it seemed to me.
Yeah, I think all sports are contact sports. We say that about football very casually, but football is really a collision sport. But basketball, there's elbows, there's shoulders. I think people that play the game learn how to use their body to create space. And for these boys, growing into their bodies, that awkward age when you're a teenager and you're still figuring out how to move, the strange feelings you have in both your mind and your heart, athletics is a way of letting out all that aggression. It also, of course, builds character, all those other corny things that coaches tell us. But I think most people that when they play a sport in high school, it stays with them through their adult lives, something that they think of very fondly, very proudly of.
I have often said that adolescence is like shooting the rapids, and it's certainly a good time of life to have a guide on the raft. However, the relationship that Owen has with his father, and for that matter, Carson, his best friend's relationship with his father, is largely one that's missing, either emotionally or literally physically missing. And I wondered if you saw this as specific to your novel, but also culturally, does it have larger implications for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Owen's father is based on my own father, who was charged, arrested, and convicted of very similar crimes back in 1990. So this book has a large dose of truth to it. But it's also a book about male friendship. Before the question gets asked, Carson is a wholly fictitious made-up character. And I think a lot of young men bond over sports. I know personally, some of the best friends I've made in this world, both as an adult and as a teenager, came from playing sports. And a lot of what happens between boys, you don't really talk about that sense, again, of teamwork, camaraderie, understanding what an individual and a team is doing without discussing it orally, really gives you a sense of what it's like to be not just on a sports team, but growing up in the world. And that sense of male friendship is something that I really wanted to explore with this book, and I hope really resonates for a reader.
Well, you also have a coach as father figure. You know, these boys are lucky in that the coach of their team certainly serves in that way also. So you've alluded to this, but one of the things that will fascinate our local listeners are the references to local places. And I found myself puzzling about, now, which private school is that? And where exactly did he live? So I know that it's not always fair to assume autobiography, but you have said that this book is in part autobiographical. So how did that mix with fiction? I mean, like, are the facts of your life, so to speak, a taking off point, or tell us how that worked out in practice for you?
Of course. Well, let's end the mystery. Rockcastle is based on the Seven Hills Schools. And I believe Seven Hills Schools is also the basis for Curtis Sittenfeld's most recent novel, which was a reimagining of Pride and Prejudice, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes.
So Seven Hills has affected the entire community. In many ways, this is a love song to Cincinnati. The book is dark. The book is a coming-of-age story. But I found that the longer and longer I was away from Cincinnati, the more and more it becomes part of my writing life. I moved away from Cincinnati in 1996 to go to college. I left the state in 2000, and I have just moved back. I now live in Columbus, Ohio. So I've been away from Cincinnati for almost 20 years. And I find, and I think a lot of writers would say this as well, you really get a sense of the place blending into your work the further and further you get away from it. And I find that a lot of the fiction that I write, whether it's a short story or a novel, ends up being reflective of Cincinnati. It's a place that you just, not only you can't escape, but you don't really want to.
Well, I read in your acknowledgments that it sounded as if this book was 4 years in the making, obviously even more than that, since it is in part autobiographical. But I'm wondering if you're working on something new, and will we need to wait 4 years?
Oh, let's hope not. I am working on a brand new book. I'm going to stay with that author tradition of saying very little about it. But it is a book that is set in Ohio, and it's about three separate characters kind of coming together over a bike path. And I don't think I want to say anything more than that for the time being.
All right. All right. Well, I certainly hope you'll come back and talk with us about the Bike Path book. And thanks so much for this wonderful novel and for talking with us tonight.
You're very welcome. It was great to be here.
I've been talking with Michael Nye about his debut novel, All the Castles Burned. He'll be at Joseph Beth in Rookwood on February 13th at 7 p.m. For more information, please go to wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.